Oh, you yet? Oh, you yet? Give me your mic. You're going to use up the last round.
This is my poem called Rumshack. I wrote this for my buddy who lives in London. When the storm came last year, stuck at home, and he sent me a text message saying, write me a poem. So I asked him what to write, and he sent me another text message then with a cocktail list, and one of the cocktails is called Rumshack. So I said, okay, I know about Rumshacks. So there it is. As I sit in my chair with photo in hand, the sky looks so grey and so does the sand. An illusion, a glare, I cannot understand. A trick of the lens, a sleight of the hand. For as I remember, the sun shone so bright that it burned scorch marks right into the night and left no confusion as my mind cast back to that Dionysian day in that little rum shack. Away from the rat race, away from the rain, away from the news and away from the pain. We lay on our sunbeds with light-hearted books, eating jerk chicken served up by the cooks, resting just there till our time was nigh and the sun reached its peak way up in the sky. Then he rang his bell and our eyes cast back to the man with the grin in the little rum shack. Welcome, welcome, said the man with the grin, offering his hand towards the bank beer and gin. Irie, Irie, ye all be cool. Take it easy and pull up a stool. Let me tell ye all fisherman's tales. Let me make ye all juicy cocktails. With fruit punch and rum, spice gold or black, and ye all can get crazy in my little rum shack. Ring-a-ding-ding, brought more from the beach. Rum to be mixed and lessons to teach. Lessons from stories of islands and caves. Stories of pirates and ships full of slaves. Brought to the islands together in chains with nothing to claim for except for their names. Names from their homeland which they never went back, but their stories immortalized in their little rum shack. His rum kept on flowing from his endless supply. The molasses and honey brought our spirits high. As we listen to words, as they roll off his tongue, his stories portrayed in the songs that he sung. His tears started flowing with his Rastaman chants, respect to his parents, his uncles and aunts. And we sang and we danced till night was pitch black. The greatest of days in that little rum shack. Now this picture's old and dare not display all of the beauty on that beach that day. You cannot speak of the sun in the sky, or the sound of his bell, or the sound of his cry. Welcome, welcome, you all need a rum. Make the time special, because soon it be done. And sitting at home, you all want to come back and drink with the man in my little rum shack.
Thank you. We have Heather Kimley, please. There. He might be downstairs smoking fags, is he?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get one next. Can we have Mary Connell, please?
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that because it didn't work.
No.
Okay.
This
is called Notes from a Life. The piercing pitch of grief can have some worth. Grit that lodges in an oyster shell can take on layers that swirl into a pearl. When Eric Clapton learned about his birth, it was the wound that reached into his sleeping soul to wake the weeping of his first guitar. The man who fathered him shipped out to war, unaware he'd left behind a son in a 16-year-old girl just out of school. Anxious to avoid gossiping tongues, Her mother claimed the newborn as her own, her daughter as sibling to the child. The teenager lived life doing as she pleased. As a 12-year-old, Eric heard the truth that he'd seen a sister, was in fact the mother who pushed him into life. He could have borne the revelation had she told him in secret he was hers, without hesitation held him to her heart. Instead, she left, refused to let him join her, became in Germany a soldier's wife. Anguish erupted from his blues guitar, wailed in a flurry of electric riffs. Like many rock musicians, Clapton's fame advanced him to be fated with the best. Crashed when virtuosity was quenched as drugs and drink slowed his trajectory. Love kept eluding him, despite his links with many famous females, but shone with the radiance of his infant son. It took the 4-year-old's untimely death to jolt his dad back to reality, become the father he was meant to be, in contrast to the one he never knew.
Thanks, Lee. I think I have Herbert there now, so can we have Herbert Gibney, please? Well, Herbert, don't keep us waiting any longer.
I'm coming.
We'll get somebody else up before you again.
Oh, go on, I have you. Listen, I had 2 poems to read. I had 1 to read from New Orleans.
Hey,
you're right, lovely. God bless you.
Right there,
couple of poems. Cheer you, my love. All right, then.
That's good, huh? Oh, look, if you're into the Cork Indie Fest, the movie thing, I have an art documentary, it's called We the Water, and it's playing Friday the 12th at the Gate Cinema as a front movie for The Battlefield by a local movie maker, Emil Dineen. So it's an art documentary about the death of New Orleans. And whatever. Get on with it.
You've got 3 minutes.
3 minutes is all right. Well, I had 2 poems, and I can't find my New Orleans poem. So, well, the Irish poem was The Returning Home. So I'll read this one. Okay, shit. Look, you have me a mess. I'm sorry, I got you late. Here it is. So this is a poem from New Orleans to Ireland. It's called Civil War. Contradiction of civility and war. Nothing left, only mute-mouthed winners of nothing. And after, silent witnesses dead, more alive than the living, loud mirror reflection of what was truly said. Noble idea seed of freed black flowers, big boys play joker card behind Lincoln's back. Seed of false freedom, feed on that. Pale inner circle, imperialists keep the powers. Broken ace of hearts, card too hard to play for greedy fingers. Tormented black skin, stripped clean to white bone by dark, deep, murky brine. Ankles, wrists, necks, garlands of bracelets and chains round road. Together 2,000 to the bottom. Lip slip, whip ship trip, ancient bark coffin sank without clank, cushioned in sand's gentle sway. Dead kings of memory, laurelled in coral, in a kingdom land rounded, watery grave, gulf grave, it's the Gulf of New Mexico. Clam clean skulls, white pearl teeth, smile through perfect jaws, limbs thrown back by thief, cold bone hands and feet comfort each other, in a line, la nan gan, complete chameleon skin sin. All tears run to one. A huge inverted liquid tension sphere dropped. Ocean floor stores the score. Slave ships scaled perfect in timeless flow. All sad, mad, human refrain and disdain recorded by our brothers who lay safe in silent witness in a mile-long smile of skulls. Again the white black hearts are here, spreading fear, setting all back 50 and 100 years, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, full of self-righteous war winds, blowing bilious bellied bombastic sails. Today's stuck in trade of white turmoil is not the skin of our kin, greed's not easily shunned. In these desperate times of plenty, we dig progressively deeper, deeper in, nearer to our Mother Earth's volcanic cooney, ripping through her earthen skin, through her stone bone, for her black blood. Oil boils! People's skin's too thin. Irony, white skin, white light is all we'll get. Wham! No more people, no more planet Earth, no more fear, no more regrets. Just pure energy. God bless you. Will I throw this one in?
No.
Alright, yeah, I've had enough. You've had enough of me.
Well, there's lots of other people that we've got to have.
Of course. We're all ego freaks. But anyway, a poem.
Can we have Joe Healy, please?
Yeah. Oh, you're a bad news here.
I know I am. Thank you so much.
You're the legend.
The poem was called. The poem is called The Pot, and there's a quote from a Shane McGowan song, Rainy Night in Soho, and it's some of them fell into heaven, some of them fell into hell. So The Pot. Sometimes a nightmare can be real. See a skyscraper, its top hidden in clouds. Now I'm inside, checking every room. Each space is a person bent over a big pot, smiling as they burn wads of banknotes. What are you doing? I ask. We're all solicitors or barristers, they say, and that's our food in the pot. Each door here has a nameplate. One says robbery, another public liability. There's GBH, murder, whiplash claims, queues everywhere. There are others. We're led to golden door, overhead in huge neon, government tribunals. Inside is a golden pot and a chest of drawers labelled tribunal fees, $1 million per year. We climb higher at the top, a door, taxpayers. We wander in, it's very dark. Suddenly I drop down a chute. I plunge deeper, it's getting hotter. And I see, feel the flames of a furnace. My next thought is floating out a chimney. I'm now a piece of ash, floating to a doorway onto a sleeping bag of a homeless man. And there I remain. Sometimes what's real can be a nightmare. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Can we have Jim Crickhart, please?
What they call a found poem, and it's Facebook statuses as a poem. So it's like made of real Facebook statuses. What a wonderful weekend it has been. Congrats to my brother and his wife. Delighted I've passed my driving test. Finally got my back handspring flip down. Fucking dying after last night, never again. People who sit for 8 hours a day double the risk of heart disease. Throwback to our trip of San Francisco. Hashtag Cali vibes. My beloved dog Susie is missing. If anyone here sees her, please get in touch. Just said goodbye to my mom and dad. Off for six months to Bali. I love it when someone backstabs you but is all nice to your face. Hashtag two-faced snakes. Few drinks with the family. It's been a while. Hashtag bonding. If you're reading this status, it means I haven't deleted you as a friend. Wishing my very special pumpkin a very happy first birthday. When I yell at my dog to stop barking, I wonder if he thinks, this is awesome, let's bark together. Happy birthday to my granny, gone 17 years but not forgotten. I'm deleting my Facebook soon.
Next, can we have Seamus Harrington, please?
Thanks, Rad. Lexus. A lurking punch escapes the bunch, the furtive punch as terms crunch. Sculpt novel lines, rejig verse spines, observe the signs, beware sound minds. In catching clothes and haughty pose, one always knows mismatching prose. Small stanza blocks, fresh from the stocks, in ginger locks, the thoughtful fox. The sound of chime reduced to mime, and work of rhyme defies all time. A gentle pace may cause a brace to find a place in time and space. To every nerd, it's not absurd to cull a word from idle herd. This lexic game of sire and dame, by any name, is still the same. Open mic for jury. Leave politics outside the door, you and your tree-hugging wimps, rent-a-crowd cynics. Staying PC is no concern of mine. You darken this doorway again with your skeptics and mink-loving lefties, sandals and pop, pot, and I'll unleash my own heckler and kosh.
Here we have Benjamin Bond, please. That's a plastic hole.
Black-headed gulls in winter plumage above the river's endless noise. Sleek white bodies, visceral shrieks, matter of factness, compactness and sass. A twist mid-flight to sketch the sunlight and stretch across the experiential abyss to intuit what it might feel like to have wingtips.
Thanks, thank you. We have Patricia Walsh, please.
Thank you, Rob. It's for building up lessons. Only the remnant shall be saved, pocketing your favourite Bible distressed, at how the world goes by virtually stretched, conspiring near no unhelping situation. A fraud for not producing wherever goods may lie, borrowing computer for domination. pleading not to do the deed, a convenient trick, burying the strangers of faithful yore. His own private galaxy, enough to bore, studying fragments remains still apart. Attention through ink is all they can support, building up adolescence under cover of stars. The bell makes a solemn departure, sweetly annoying. No mediation can touch you now, dangerous as is. Time and again excusing your gratification. Making friends with doorbells is a tiny touch. There's nothing there but sky and meaty occupation. For education and food is the best of your efforts. Driving to freedom wherever that comes from. Or enduring home where it is needed. God is not inclined to make mistakes. Finding love on a repaired gratitude festival, too damn right. Some vitamin heart catches you unawares, thunderously claiming what is proffered to be yours.
Thanks, Patricia. Can we have Sean Lee Lynch next, please?
I have it, Eureka! A fantastic idea, a light bulb moment, the best of my career. Synapses dance fire, inspiration strikes iron. It's all coming together quite nicely. Cogs rotate in a creative embrace. I think, ah yes, I'll catch this concept. I'll fetch for a pen, but for some reason, conscience commits treason by conning it's okay. You can do this later. It is now later. And not a note written. Yet this idea still lingers, becoming ever more fickle. Here it goes. Notebook lays empty. A blank canvas ready for imaginative antics. Shouting right on me. Give me more. But oh, would you look at that. I need to sweep the floor and wash the dishes and tidy my desk. How could I possibly write in such a mess? Oh look, it's now 7. It's time to make dinner. How could I focus whilst hunger slivers? I know, I'll be inspired with a full belly, perhaps a small beverage for satiation is the key to cleverness. When the plates and forks are gone, but it's too late right now, brain tired from a day of life, the confusion of being human. Right now? That would be stupid. Best to rest. Tomorrow I'll catch the brain fresh with no leftover residue. The morning knocks and I open my eyes. Up I jump. I must write. Ah yes, I'll take the time for me. But first and foremost, I must have some coffee. Scripts and poems must be caffeinated. Any other idea is simply preposterous. A cup of joe is a must to derive one's best work. Latte similes, cappuccino climaxes. After this, I'll scrawl a masterpiece. When coffee is digested, I'm ready to alter. But first, I should really call my mother. And then my nana. And then my best friend. These jobs to do really have no end. After these tasks, I feel somewhat fatigued. I will need a kip and a read of a magazine. This isn't procrastination. It will help my stories. To have encyclopedic knowledge of random celebrities seems a commendable quality. I'll make a list. That's what I'll do. I'll put writing number 1, or maybe number 2. No, 1. Definitely. This'll be fun. Fucking hell, my idea's gone. Dispersed back into whence it came, I really hope it visits again. Doing things is the only way to get things done. Action is half a battle won. Avoiding what we want most, prioritizing everyday chores. Is it a fear of failing or unleashed potential? Who really knows? I would have the perfect lines to finish this poem. Only I got distracted and never put it on my phone. I guess that's the way writing goes.
Thanks, Alan. Can we have Jerry Murphy, please?
You're a pet.
Yeah, just looking at your arse, yeah.
These are two poems that are connected in the sense that one actually happened and the other is imagined. And I won't say which is which. One is called Myth. I'm on my way to work, the graveyard shift, 4:30 in the morning, opening the pool for the undead. Halfway through my panting trudge up Gardner's Hill, I come upon the Minotaur. He's checking himself in the wing mirror of a silver Audi 350 and snorting with satisfaction. But PCS, I venture. Never happened, he replies. We came to an arrangement, he showed me a way out of the labyrinth, then insisted to all and sundry that after a brief tussle, he had stabbed me through the throat, upon which I had disappeared in a pall of black smoke. Suited me down to the ground, hated the place with a passion. So I've been roaming the world ever since, making the occasional appearance like now, just to keep the myth alive, so to speak. And you, he asks. This is called Conversation Overheard Under a Full Moon. I'm just going to give up, declared a brunette, and strode off down Military Hill. Don't, the three blondes chorused in response. All it takes is howling, and they howled like wolves.
Thanks, Jerry. Can we have Philip's plan, please? Our five-word challenge winner.
I remember when the eye of the sky was bleached like a line. The meadow was a pepper mess like Picasso's mixing palette. An abyss widow waded against the grains of the watercolors, against the blotches that were washing into the canvas, that were heading eastwards while she stayed static, staring, standing like an X. All of us, like watercolors, curled right past her way, evolved around and stared right back, then joined the rest of the canvas. Spinning like whirlpools, swirling, curling, and cuddling ourselves like clouds. I remember when my mind was a blue period, but that was only a charade. Blue periods are clothed by homeless painters without a frame, like a lime sky without a ground, or a sea without a grain of salt. Thanks.
Can we have Max Sweden, please?
Oh, yeah. You never plan which one right, but this is what I wrote tonight in here, as I tried to listen with 2 ears. And it's just, if you'll indulge me, it's a quinacrina for a war baby. Sorry. I think sometimes I don't like watching horrible stuff, but sometimes it sneaks up on you and you say, what the fuck is that? Oh yeah. My God, what have I just seen? And it stayed with me just since I saw it, and it was Friday night, 4 in the morning, something, this news, your news. I suppose the synopsis, 7 commanders in the Cameroon, they got caught by filming themselves, narrating, taking these two women, their two babies, and they shot them. And so I didn't see that sort of hidden crime, but I just thought, oh, I'm sorry, I just saw those 3 seconds. But they've been prosecuted, which the other ones. So, I see you there, soft war boy, snuggled to your mama's back. Don't let them rob them of your joy. I see the fear you lack, you're so tired. A liquid gaze looks into space,
drinks one last breath of life. One cup of warmth of your mama's skin. I'll piggyback you from this strife. In Cameroon, a soft brown boy looks to assassin's eyes. Captured in a camera phone, hidden last cries. No sound till then, he sits resigned, close to his mother's spine that unsnaps and curls down to her knees. She kneels one final time. Seven dark commanders, chaperones of death. Black t-shirt yanked to hood a girl. Shoot, straight ahead. I roll the loop tape daily, ever since. Two silent women, two soft children, snuffed out, silent, no defense. Film one last hidden crime, replay, rewind. One last look and drink a cup of warmth from your mother's spine. So rise and shine, some peace from this dark time. Rest easy, sweet boy of mine. So, God love him.
We have three hand round, please. This is a fairly fresh one. It's about an event I saw on Saturday. It's called Rosary Rally. Heads bowed, they chanted their prayers as they marched, bringing a solemn and somber atmosphere to that sunny September afternoon as they passed. The Saturday market fell momentarily silent, as if infected, bar an angry few who hurled jeers and muttered curses. Mournfully they marched on, their incantations spreading gloom, belying the joy they claimed their belief granted them. At their head a plaster statue carried by four strapping bearers, a banner exhorting the unbelievers to prayer. Priests busied themselves with cameras, stewarding duties, marshalling their flock, hundreds strong. Lost in the narrow streets of the city, their melancholy murmur soon swallowed by the motoric din of the metropolis. They may claim a momentary victory, but in truth they were defeated by the indifference of the streets and the verdict of the 25th of May. The profession of innocence and piety won't wash. We all know their crimes, and no expiation on their hypocritical part will draw down forgiveness, never mind forgetting, from a public still raw with the hurt received from those acts.
I drink you with Colm Mahan. I think it's Colm.
Bear with me a moment while I just fix this file on my phone so I can actually read it. Okay, this poem is about anxiety and the overcoming of anxiety. It's called Darkness and Light. How best to address an unyielding mind when anxiety has, by its design, crippled this creature in the face of action. Struck with such feelings, I'm in need of traction. Like the rubber of a new wheel meeting road, though still feeling the undeniable weight of a load of mental baggage being carried around by this beast of burden covered in its shroud. Anxiety, it falls like a shadow and casts night over this weary land. As the darkness spreads like an approaching outstretched hand, reaching for Coates' lapel to drag me down to my own personal hell. The noblest aim is to resist its force. This demon wants to close all doors that lay open in our minds, the infinite juncture that leads to the world and beyond, to all space and time. When the sun does fail to shine and grant us feelings most sublime, this is where we lose our light, and so there then descendeth night. into the world in which we live, or in which we fail to really give the best of ourselves that we know is there. But when we're overcome with fear, fighting back our woeful tears in response to all that's wrong with life, those dark times when we are all but overcome with strife, strengthened in our resolve, we need to be to duly solve all the problems that life does bring. How to react? Are we going to mope or sing? To be overcome is to detract from all the more that we should be through embracing joy endlessly. So we must be our own sun to light the world and continue on.
Thanks, Colm. Can we have our last poet of the evening is Kieran McCallum.
Investing in the inner to get something out, extract it, seek it, extracted beacon of self, rub it into your palms and into your face like coconut palm. Across the surface of the border between your being and the being of it all. The whirlpool web of sweltering contradiction, stranger than fiction. You'd say you couldn't make it up, only you did. Had your input, contributed, paraplay playing with the plays of others. Gave credence to the unlikely, gave weight to words shared between some and breathed lightness into words shared by others. Somewhere you grew you, in decisions taken all day, every day, to manifest your survival and stimulate your curiosity, find patterns in your interests. You dreamed it all up, really, and why shouldn't you?
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks to everybody who did a 5-word challenge. Thanks to everybody who appeared in the open mic. Thanks to Mary G. Holmes, our guest poet.